Hi, I'm Danielle Kelly. Welcome to another JPR Live session where we have one-of-a-kind in-studio performances and conversations with musicians we admire. This JPR Live session is made possible with support from the Talent Club in Talent, Oregon, with live music and cold drinks in a casual atmosphere. Info and their live music schedule at talentclublive.com. Our guest today is no stranger to our region, a veteran house favorite spin on open air, and having played sold-out shows in our region for decades, our guest is a New York-born, North Carolina-raised, Bay Area-residing, soulful folk rock singer-songwriter. It's Sean Hayes.
Hello.
Hey, Sean, thank you so much for stopping by.
Yes, thank you for having me.
As Dave mentioned earlier, Sean's playing tonight in Ashland at the Lithia Band Shell in Lithia Park. It is a free show. It's part of Ashland Folk Collective Presents Summer Sounds, sponsored by Epic Ashland in partnership with Ashland Parks and Rec. Sound of Honey opens the show at 6 o'clock. Sean goes on at 7 o'clock. Bring your blankets. It's bound to be a great time. More info on the show for this free concert at ashlandoregon.gov. Sean, glancing at your website's tour calendar, it looks like Ashland's sort of a stop on an annual Northwest West Coast tour. Is that true?
Yes, we do tend to come up at least once, maybe twice a year. This one's a little more unusual, a Monday night free concert, which is unusual. But also this one's actually a family vacation, as you got to see earlier. I'm on a little drive up the Northwest with my two boys and my wife. We left the dog.
Oh, beautiful.
That would be tricky. So we're having a little vacation and doing some shows along the way. And then the band's going to meet us tonight for this one. So,
full
a little
band.
Adventure.
Very cool. Where else does touring take you these days? Do you do East Coast legs or, adventures as well?
Yeah, I tend to bop into a region for I'll go into Chicago area and spend Wednesday through Sunday and then jump back to my family and then go. Sometimes we'll do longer. Like we did out of the pandemic, we did a longer East Coast and West Coast runs. But normal life with balancing everything else, it's much easier to do quick. The West Coast, I can get away with a week or two because we're just driving. But when I'm flying into different spots, I'll just take advantage of maybe I'll get a cool offer somewhere and then do a little regional run for 3 or 4 days. It works out.
Very cool. Since 99's Tiny Little Pieces album, you've had about 10 studio albums, I think I counted, including two that kind of flew under our radar, due to the pandemic scramble. I'm a big fan of Be Like Water from 2021, and you had an EP in 22 called Bibliography. Just mentioning that because I'm discovering that in prepping to get to chat with you today. Are you touring with new music right now, or are we touring those?
I think I'm going to play a new song today, even tonight, or right now, when we get there. I've got a few new songs, but they're not really recorded yet. Maybe we'll break out a couple of them tonight when we're playing. I'm a slow mover when it comes to recording. It feels like it takes me a good 4 years, not necessarily because it's just figuring out how to pay for it all, get everybody back in the studio, all of that, because everything's self-released and self-done. So it's we eventually figure out, okay, we've got another space to do it. So I've got a group of songs that I'm almost ready to figure it out again.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And then the last record was, Be Like Water, which came out of the pandemic, I think, really. But I had those songs building up for a number of years. And whenever I can get them done.
Well, we'd love to hear one. What would you like to start with today?
I think I'll start with Be Like Water because that was in my head. Be Like Water is actually a funny song where it was this song was trying to get out for a good 15 or 20 years. I had that, I was some friends fooling around. We did the I Ching once, 15, 20, throw some pennies. It's an old book of divination, Chinese ancient book of divination. My little reading was to be like water. And so that stuck with me for many years. And every once in a while, I'd pick up the guitar and the words would come out, but a song would never quite emerge. And then I think I was playing James Brown's, get up, get up, stay on the scene. I started playing that for a few years. And then the two things finally merged, the I Ching and James Brown. So that's what the song represents to me. And I'll give you a little taste of it here, solo version. It's kind of a ranty mantra. Oh, the book said, it said, be like water, said, be like water, be like water. Come on, hey, the book said, Be like water, said, be like water, be like water. One more, hey, the book said. Be like water, said, be like water, be like water. When it's time to get down, get up. Get up to get down, get up to get down. Get up to get down, get up to get down. Get up to get down, get up to get down. Get up to get down, get up to get down. Oh, the book said, be like water, said, be like water. Be like water, come on, hey, the book said. Be like water, said, be like water, be like water. When it's time to get down, oh, get down. Get up to get down, get up to get down. Get up to get down, get up to get down. Get up to get down, get up to get down. Get up to get down, get up to get down. All the book said to get down, be like water and get up. Be like water, down, be like water. When it's time to get down, now it's time to get down. When it's time to get down, oh, get down. Get up, mm-hmm. Get up to get down. Get up, yeah. Get up to get down. I got to get up to get down. Get up to get down. I wanna get up to get down. I got to get up to get down. Solo version.
Sean Hayes live at Jefferson Public Radio. That's Be Like Water. It's from the latest album out. So cool to have you here. I read that you got your roots playing like traditional American and Irish music, and I read a little bit about your first band, the Boys of Blue Hill.
That's
and I was
right.
wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that outfit and kind of what brought you to gravitate towards that music.
Yeah, well, that's way back. So I was born in New York, like you said, but I was raised in North Carolina. So eventually, you know, I was saying, how y'all doing? You want to play that song? But when I moved there, I was like, how you guys? I'm from New York. So I was a little New Yorker. And then eventually it rounded me off. And I think I grew up kind of like we all did, listening to at least my era, the Police, the Smiths, the Led Zeppelin, all the stuff. And then it wasn't until about, I went to college for a year and I came back, and then a friend of mine from high school, Michael Horowitz, was playing Irish music. And so here was this Jewish kid who introduced me, Sean Hayes, very Irish name. He introduced me to my roots. He was like, man, I'm loving this music. So he was playing this Irish music. So we started playing together, and he basically formed the band, and it ended up being me, him and a few other people, great players, and we started playing Irish music, and then we also discovered kind of bluegrass music at the same time, old time music, and we were writing our own tunes. It was really the only band I think I've ever been in, like a true band, and it was wonderful, and it was also so intense at that age. You're like 19 and all of a sudden people are like, I'm gonna stay here, I'm gonna go to college, I'll stay here if we're committed. And it was like, oh, you got married really quickly. It was like, so the intensity of that, so it was intense and beautiful, and then exploded very quickly too. And then I was kind of terrified of that commitment after that, because it was so wild to have people changing their lives around you and the whole thing. But it was a really beautiful time, and beautiful to play that music. And then I moved to San Francisco on a whim, and I wasn't around that music as much anymore. And then it would come back to me here and there. And I didn't realize how deeply, though, the South had kind of seeped into my music and my way of seeing music and kind of front porch quality of it all.
was being a career musician, was that sort of always the goal, or did
it
you find
not.
That later?
It was not. I didn't really know. I was in a great theater kind of program in high school that kind of saved me a little bit in high school. It was a magnet school, so all the different high schools could audition for this one school away from your normal high school, so it was a little different level. And I wasn't even one of the singers, but in that class, it broke the ice, and you kind of were forced to sing. And then the second year of that class, I actually wrote a song for a fundraiser, and that's when I was like, the bells went off a little bit. I was like, oh, writing a song, putting lyrics to something, standing up and being brave enough to just let it out, that's when something clicked. And then I was off to college, and I was maybe going to study theater, but I started to get the music bug as well. And I was very super romantic, still am, I think, very kind of Kerouacian romantic, like, just got to go hit the road and go chase things around, you know. So I started following that, which was definitely much more of a musical bug, and traveling around the South and discovering all the things that were happening then musically, and playing with different people in that band, and then coming out to San Francisco on a whim, you know, just jumping in the back of my friend's car. And then I ended up being in San Francisco for 20 years and still just north of there.
Such a dream.
Yeah, very just like the fool stepping off the cliff. Whee! Vibe, you know, well, it'll work out type feeling. But never really like, I'm going to be in the music industry. I was more the romantic, like, I'm going to play and people will figure it out or not type yeah. thing. And we'll see, you know, like, we'll see what happens. So
yeah.
here we are,
yeah, here
30,
we are.
40 years later. I don't know. Yeah, still doing it.
You did it. I've been a fan for a really long time, and specifically of your lyrics. They're very, you know, romantic and poetic, and mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about where you draw inspiration from for lyrics. And I was reading a little bit about Rosebush. I learned this fun fact, a little bit about it last night, that from Big Black Hole and The Little Baby Star, that's a 2006 release, mm-hmm. that it's based off of a person that you heard from a radio story, mm-hmm. on a public radio story. And I kind of dove into that. And I wondered if you could maybe tell us just a little bit of, yeah. about Maurice Bickman and how that song came to be.
Yeah, Maurice Bickman, that's a crazy story, and it's actually got a lot of different levels to it, and I'll see if I can wrap it in really quickly, because I read about him actually in a book that was full of outsider artists, and then there was this one story that these people, I think from an NPR station, had done this long radio program about people who had been on death row but had survived. One of the people they interviewed was Maurice Bickham, and he had spent 14 years on death row, and he was still in prison when they interviewed him, like, so 38 years later. Should not have been in prison. I won't even go into that, but survived all of that, and then they interviewed him, and the thing that really stuck out was how positive he was and still hopeful to get out and not mad about it all. And I was like, oh my God, I just have to remember this guy's attitude when I'm complaining about breakfast or whatever it is we all complain about in our normal lives. Like, so a lot of my songs, like Be Like Water, which are kind of mantras almost for myself and for others, you know, just to remember an idea. And so Rosebush Inside, he talked about, he would, he took care of the rose bushes inside the prison. And so he would take care of them, and he called them his kind of hope keepers. And so the song Rosebush Inside, there's a man doing time, keeping a rosebush alive. He was wrongly accused for 40 years and still survived. So don't you know, not for a moment, no, think the world owes you. It doesn't owe you a thing. And so it was just a mantra for me to remember him. But this story gets even crazier, and I learned when you tell somebody's story, you have now become a deep part of that story, whether you think you are or not. So I wrote that song, Maurice Bickham, and I thought, I wonder if I should find out if his relatives are still alive. To me, he was distant past, this story I'm reading about. Fast forward many years later, I'm on my honeymoon around 2008. I get an email. Hello, my name is Maurice Bickham. I heard your song, and I would love to come to your show in Oakland, California. So I was like, oh my God, he's still alive. So I had multiple moments of like joy and shame for me not finding that out and him.
Sure.
But then he'd gotten out. The story is much bigger. You have to kind of go in and research it. But he'd gotten out of prison due to that, a little bit of that article, and then was the oldest surviving person to survive death row, and had gone around. He was about 92, 93 when I met him. He came out to the show. I sang the song. So it really woke me up to like, wow, you tell somebody's story, and right now we're continuing the story. Like, you become part of the story, and that story might just come knock on your door one day and say, hello.
Wow, that's really powerful.
Yeah, you opened up a bigger can of worms than you probably realized. It's such a tricky weave of.
Well, now maybe we've piqued people's interest and they'll go on their little rabbit holes.
Yeah, you can. Actually, years ago too, somebody asked, I think it was the early years of Snap Judgment. And they were like, do you have any cool stories about music? And I was like, no, I can't think of anything. And then I remembered that story. So they did a whole little kind of episode on it, which they interview him. And
very cool.
Yeah.
Well, we'd love to hear another song. What would you like to play next?
Okay. Let's see here. I mean, I could do Rosebush Inside, but maybe I should. I was going to do something else.
Dealer's choice. Might as well do Rosebush Inside. If you're just tuning in, we've got Sean Hayes live in the Steve Nelson Performance Studio. We're excited to have him ahead of a free show in the Lithia Bandshell tonight at 7 o'clock. Sound of Honey is opening the show at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, so another little mantra song. Don't you know, not for a moment, no. You think the world owes you, she don't owe you anything. Don't you know, not for a moment, no. You think the world owes you, she don't owe you anything. There's a man doing time, keeping a rosebush alive. He was wrongly accused 40 years and still survived. There's a man doing time, keeping a rosebush alive. He was wrongly accused 40 years and still survived. Don't you know, not for a moment, no. You think the world owes you, she don't owe you anything. Giving all it can, the rest you must invent. Now it's giving all it can, the rest you must go get. It's giving all it can, the rest you must invent. Now it's giving all it can, the rest you owe. Don't you know, not for a moment, no. You think the world owes you, she don't owe you a thing. Ba mu du ba ba, ah mu du ba ba la, ah mu du ba ba, ah mu du ba ba la, boom ba mu du ba ba, ah mu du da ba la, ah mu du ba ba la, ah mu du ba ba. There's a man doing time, keeping a rosebush alive. He was wrongly accused 40 years and still survived. There's a rosebush inside, keeping a man alive. And we all need hope, like water, sunshine. Don't you know, you got water, sunshine. Not for a moment, no. You got water, sunshine. You think the world owes you, you got water, sunshine. She don't owe you a thing. Ooh, da ba da boo, ah, ooh, da ba ba da, ah, ooh, da ba ba ba, ooh, ah, ooh, da da.
That's Sean Hayes live here at Jefferson Public Radio. If you don't have plans tonight, you should head over to the Lithia Bandshell in Ashland. Free show. Sound of Honey's opening at 6. Sean's on at 7 o'clock. Sean, thank you so much for coming in today. You came up here from, is it Petaluma you're calling home these days?
Petaluma, just north of San Francisco.
Very cool. What's the local community, music community like there for you? Are you part of the local live music scene there too?
It's great. I mean, there's definitely like a lot of cool cool things around. The Brothers Comatose, if you know those guys at all, they're definitely getting out. And the Rainbow Girls are right down the street. They're getting out around. And there's even members of the Honey Drops, California Honey Drops, are around there, even though I think they're also kind of based in Oakland. But there's kind of this whole little scene. And then there's some old school folks like myself, Aaron Harris. He doesn't tour around as much, but he was one of the original mayors for me of Petaluma, that I used to go up there and play at the Mystic and see him. And there's another guy that nobody knows about, Sean Carscadden. He's such a wonderful singer. And then John, who I play with in my band, John Courage, who will be coming up tonight. He's a wonderful musician and has his own band out of Santa Rosa. So yeah, there's lots of, I feel like there's, it, you know, has the wine country going on, and the so it has a lot of that going on. I really feel like it's bubbling a little bit, has a ton of potential to become a little bit more known as like this area for music.
We'll see. You're on the road this leg, mixing little family time and music with your wife and your kiddos. And yeah. I'm always interested to hear a professional career musician sort of speak to how they interact and parent their kids as far as music goes. What's your boy's relationship with music, and what is that dialogue like between y'all?
Yeah, well, that's definitely an interesting question. I grew up with no music in the house in terms of no instruments or anything like that. My dad sometimes would belt a song and scare the dog or something like that. But like, it was more just like, he had a very strong voice. He didn't know if he was yelling or at you or singing. It was like, run. So, but eventually I asked for a guitar or something and got it. But these kids are growing up with, you know, guitars everywhere. And I've been singing, you know, every day of their lives just around. And then we just kind of like let them choose their own adventure with it. It's interesting doing, you know, the media landscape that kids are growing up with, I find to be the most distracting thing. I'm always kidding around. Like, I'm just looking to be bored, and then I will work. I will play music. I will write songs. I'm just, if everybody goes out of town, then I'll just go out to my studio and be done. And we went on a sabbatical from my wife's work. She got it, and we took the kids to Costa Rica for 3 weeks, and we did not bring any iPads or anything like that. And we did bring a little guitar. And that was the most I saw them actually interact and play naturally, you know, because they were just bored, and they'll pick it up and think, oh, okay, finally I'll pick this thing up if I don't have an iPad to pick up. So it's an interesting thing. I just kind of like let them choose their own adventure with it. There's plenty of things for them to bang on. And so we'll see where it takes them.
Yeah.
They're always singing. And I do a lot of unconscious beatboxing in the car, you know, just driving around. And I notice one of my sons does that all the time, the other one not at all. So it's interesting. It might just be pure genetics going on.
Yeah. Reading down your sort of, you know, career notes and things about your career, there's a lot of TV placements, a lot of collaborating and, you know, songs on soundtracks and shows and commercials and things like this. And, it feels like a silly question, but I guess I have to, you know, I'm a musician myself, and I'm really, it is a changing landscape to be a musician these days. And, mm-hmm. and I'm always curious, from someone who's been doing it for so long, like, do you ever write songs with that sort of in mind, or, you know, for sort of commercial use, or, you know, is
I have been asked before to attempt to do that, and I've never really succeeded. I've had it happen accidentally, and then I've had people get in touch and be like, hey, will you try to, and then that's never really worked. And I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And then, oh no, they don't want that. You know, so I messed with that. But then the times it has happened has just been, I think the lucky thing for me, that, you know, music is so strange, because I'm all self-released, and also living up in the Bay Area, you're not really in the middle of like the LA where a lot of that is coming out of the music supervision supervisor. But radio stations like this, and then KCRW in LA is like a big spot for that. And I did, I had my song, and then Mark Farina remixed one of my songs. We did a remake. It wasn't even a remix. It was really just a remake of that song. And that got on KCRW. We're talking a long time ago.
We're talking Dream Machine.
Right? Yeah, Dream Machine, Rattlesnake Tribe. But that, you know, they played a lot of that kind of almost more techno-y. So it was like it was a house version, house meets folk. That opened the door a little bit. I got to sneak in through that thing, because they really liked that track. I don't think they would have ever really noticed my folkier stuff necessarily without that little, you know, in the background. And then that led to getting some more placements and things, because people who work at those those radio stations. So for me, it was very almost accidental, and just kind of keep throwing the pebble in the water, or whatever, the hook in the water, and for years and years. So it was definitely not very, I'm going to go out there and get a placement.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Any sort of advice for singer-songwriters or people who are sort of trying to follow in similar shoes to you, the kind of music that you do play?
Yeah, I would say, like, book the gig. before you have the band. You don't even have to have the band yet. Like, book the gig and then find the band if you need to. Like, and then if you're still playing with those people 20 gigs later, then you might have a band. But yeah, the gig, it just focuses you, you know, like focuses you to finish the song, and then it's going to be terrifying and fun, or all of the above every other time, and it's going to change. But I think just keep booking the gig, and then also keep same advice as like, finish the, and I have to follow this advice still to this day. I have to remind myself, I've got a bucket full of songs that I should be putting out in the world that I forget. Like, no, just put them out. Let people hear them. Stop hiding that. Stop thinking it's got to get better.
Sure.
Just, and now we're dealing with such a different landscape that you can record a song right now and have it be released to potentially to the entire world if they'll find it. There's so much coming at us. So now we're dealing with like, an overload of information. Mm-hmm. But you can throw it out and then keep throwing it out. You can change it. Don't get too hung up, you know, just keep letting people hear it. Maybe one person hears it and then that one person passes it on and it comes back around 5 years later. It's like, wow, I didn't even realize like the Maurice Bickham story.
Yeah.
You don't know where it's going to end up.
And with that, all that uncertainty of it, like what keeps you inspired and sort of encouraged through that being the reality?
That's just up and down. You know, I can definitely sometimes, but I just kind of keep showing up and playing. And, you know, the family life makes things trickier. You know, I don't want to leave as much. I kind of thought as they got older, I would be like, okay, now I can go back out more. But it's actually been the opposite. I want to stay home even more with them. Once I go and I'm out the door, then I'm better. But the startup energy to get going is a little trickier. But I think you just kind of got to just make it work for yourself too. You don't have to be out touring. You could be doing live streams on Instagram now. You can have your own little weekly live stream and potentially reach people all over the world, you know.
Yeah.
So I think there's just so much opportunity to make things work if you just get out of your own way a little bit with it, I think, and not hold on too tightly.
Cool.
Would be my advice, I guess.
We have time for another song. What would you like to wrap up with?
I am going to wrap up with a song that, yeah, kind of falls into that category of, I think I recorded a very lo-fi version of this, just kind of trying to follow my own advice and not wait around to figure out how to do it with a band and being like, I've got a microphone, I've got my phone. So I recorded that and put it out just through Instagram probably about a month or so ago. But I'm still going to make a band recording. I feel like I haven't recorded this song yet, even though I put it up for free on my website. You know, so I'm going to do this song, which kind of came out of the pandemic. It's definitely, it's falling in line of the other two songs. It's got a little bit of a rant to it. And it kind of came out all at once. It was one of those songs. It's just a stream of words that I was pressed record and then was like, oh, I think that's a whole song. So I just started singing it out live though. So let's see if I can do this. I want to stand up and sing, let my body ring, dancer the call with not part but one with all, and how to rewire the rage. Hear the call and change. She sings with honeybees. Someday we'll all be trees. Oh, to see beyond the mountains. Oh, to see beyond the light in your eyes. There's no way to know what's beyond the beyondness. We can only try and live our lives right, 'cause heaven got a place on earth, hell got a place there too, to get what you deserve, doing what you're doing. If you don't want that pain, sir, try and make it right, so there's no one left to blame when the fire leaves the sky. And I don't know what to say about an innocent child caught in a crossfire. It happens all through time. time. How does it not break the heart of an entire people? How does it not break our hearts? How does it not break us, girl? And I don't know what to do when I don't know what to say. Try and get my body right. Gotta get my body right. And I don't know what to do when I don't know what to say. Gotta get my body right. Wanna get my, gotta get my, am I gonna get my? Yeah, gotta get my body. Gotta get my body right. There's a house outside this house, inside a house outside this house. Yeah, there's a bigger house inside this house. There's a house outside this house, inside a house outside this house. Yeah, there's a bigger house inside this house.
Yeah. So exciting.
I think that's called Someday We'll All Be Trees.
Someday We'll All Be Trees.
Yeah, you guys
pseudo debut here. Yes, Sean Hayes live at Jefferson Public Radio.
You guys have the one of the only versions.
That's excellent. Well, I can't wait for that recording with the full band down the road. That'll be so cool.
Me too.
Well, Sean, thank you so much for coming in and spending part of your afternoon with us today.
Yeah.
Really neat to meet your family too. Take them through the station.
Yeah.
Sean Hayes is playing a free show in Ashland tonight at the Lithia Bandshale, 7 o'clock. Opening the show at 6 o'clock is Sound of Honey. The show is organized by Ashland Folk Collective. It's sponsored by Epic Ashland and Ashland Parks and Rec. You can find out more about Sean Hayes, his music, his tour, buy his merch, buy his music at seanhayesmusic.com. The session was engineered by John Griffin from Luna Zen Studios. It was made possible with support from the Talent Club in Talent, Oregon. Cold drinks and live music in a casual atmosphere. Their live music calendar is talentclublive.com. Sean, thanks again so much. I am your host, Danielle Kelly, everyone. Thanks for listening. Open Air will continue right after this.